Message. And again, my burden for you guys in this series, we're going to continue our series that I've entitled Rooted, is that you would be rooted to Christ. There's a lot of things that we can anchor ourselves to where we find nourishment and where we think we're going to find satisfaction. But in Colossians 2 is our theme verse. We need to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. So for all of you as young people, as you're maturing and growing up and trying to decide what direction you're going to go in life, we want you to be rooted to Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to talk about a sin that a lot of people would say is a root sin. And that's kind of how we're going to approach this series, because a lot of times there are sins that are kind of the root in our heart that a lot of other sins can flow from. And one time my brother, he's a Bible teacher and a youth pastor as well, and he was teaching a junior high Bible class. Some of you heard me tell this story before, but he asked his class the question I'm going to ask you guys tonight. What is idolatry? Most of the class rose their hand very confidently. They thought they knew what it was. There was one boy who didn't. He wasn't very confident about it. And another boy in the class looked at him and said, "You don't know what idolatry is?" And he's like, "No, I don't." "You've never been to a Dollar Tree." He didn't know what we were talking about. He thought he was talking about a store where everything was a dollar. And that's not what we're talking about tonight, but a root sin that gives a lot of other sins nourishment to grow is idolatry. So we're going to talk about idolatry tonight, and this is probably what you think of when you think of idolatry. You think of a physical idol, something that someone would bow down to. And when I was in Lebanon, a lot of their houses in the very top of their roof, they would have what I would call like a little cubby hole outside. Now the reason they did that is because they would all take their idols of that house and they would place them in the highest point of their house. And in Lebanon, a lot of times that was Mary, the mother of Jesus. They literally worshipped her as an idol, and they had kind of a weird twist on Catholicism. And this is typically what we think of as idolatry, because it's not very common in the United States. We're not very familiar with idolatry on the surface level. But we're much more familiar than we probably think. Our worship services may not look like this, actually bowing down to idols. We don't see that very often, but our worship services may look a little bit more like this. These are some people going crazy at a concert. We worship entertainment. We worship entertainers. We worship comfort. We worship ease. We worship a lot of different things in our country, but a lot of times our worship is invisible. People can't see what we're worshiping in our hearts, but it's an invisible thing that's going on beneath the surface, and we're not physically bowing down, but we are worshiping something else on the inside. Idolatry at its basis level is distorted worship. The Bible repeatedly tells us that there is one God. And if we worship and bow down and love to anything else in the world, that's idolatry. We are not placing our worship where it should go. Now guys, all week, there have probably been siblings in this room who have been lashing out at each other in anger, yelling and screaming, and being brutal with each other. And on Sundays, they attend church and they serve in youth group and no one knows what's going on. Maybe there's a young guy or girl in this room who consistently views pornography or thinks and reads about things on the internet of a sensual nature that we ought not think about. But then they show up to church on Sunday and maybe they're in a leadership position or they have leadership positions where they lead a Bible study and everybody thinks that everything's going well on the outside. Maybe there's a teenage girl here tonight who harbors jealousy towards someone else. You think that they have everything, that they don't deserve it, they're popular, and yet every Sunday or every day at school you paint a smile on your face and pretend that everything's going on okay. But really inside you're struggling and you're hurting, and maybe there's a teenager here who whispers about someone else behind their back, who tears them down. You laugh at them, yet you're the very first one to stand up in youth group when it's testimony time. And people notice those types of things, and all these things were going on underneath the surface. And guys, all these different situations, that idolatry is invisible. We can't see what they're worshiping, but we can see what is coming out of their lives. And if we're all honest, we know what comes out of our lives when we're alone, when no one else is watching, and what are we really worshiping in our hearts when we're by ourselves? And it is pulling our hearts farther and farther away from God. And so tonight we're going to look at idolatry, and all of the above situations indicate a heart that is rooted to something else besides Jesus Christ. That's where you think you need to run and go to make yourself happy, to find nourishment, to find room to grow. You think that that is what you need to make your life happy. And many of you remember in Matthew 22, there was a scribe that came to Jesus, and he was trying to catch Jesus in an argument and trying to catch him and trick him into speaking heresy. And so he asked him a question, and he said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And a lot of us know his response. Jesus said in Matthew 22, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So guys, what's your reaction when you read those verses? And I really want you to think about that, because even as I watch some of you, we have heard these things this so many times that we take it for granted. We don't let it sink in. It loses its impact. But I want you to, for a moment, to stop whatever you're doing, look up at the screen, and meditate on those verses. What is God saying? What is Jesus saying in Matthew 22? Take a moment to read it on your own. Now, somebody give me an answer. What is God commanding in those two verses? Josiah.
To dedicate your life to God.
To dedicate your life to God. What else? How else could you say that?
With everything we have, all our focus should be on Him, and everything in our life should be centered around Him.
Yeah, we should be single-minded. We should be single-focused. God calls us to have an undivided love for Him. He calls us to love Him with everything that we are. And He calls that the greatest commandment. How are you guys doing with that? How am I doing with that? And this is a question that I've got to ask myself all the time. Am I divided in my love? Do I love other things or other people more than I do God? I am supposed to completely worship Him and nothing else. So guys, when you think about that, now what's your reaction to that verse? If you're like me, I'm starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because I know I fall short of this command, the greatest command, each and every day. And we've got to ask ourselves, do I really love God with everything that I am? Do I love Him with my whole heart? Or are there other things in my heart that scream for my attention and I decide to give them attention more than I do God? There's so many things that pull us away from Him. Do I worship other gods, or does God receive my undivided and total worship? And guys, as we try to answer those questions, we come to the realization that idolatry is much more than this. It is not just physically bowing down to things. You're not going to take your Xbox and bow down to it in your room. You're not going to take your TV and bow down to it in your room. But in your heart, a lot of these things we do bow down to. Idolatry really has everything to do with love. With how much I love God, with how much I love others, and with how much I love God's Word. Also, it has to do with how much I love things of this world. Because guys, the message tonight is for those of you who can relate to the people that we've mentioned earlier. You want to do what's right, but you have sinful fruit that's coming from your heart. Whether people see it or not, you know that that anger is there. It's beneath the surface. You know that that jealousy is there beneath the surface. And you know that there's all kinds of thoughts. You can observe the fruit of pornography or sensual thoughts or actions in your life. You can see that coming out, but you just don't know how to approach it. It comes farther back from what you love. Something is fueling that sin in your life. You can observe the fruit of jealousy, corrupt communication. But guys, you desire to live a godly life, but you keep finding yourself in that never-ending cycle of that habitual sin. And we always try to stop and do it in our own power, and we can't. And the book, Idols of the Heart, it defines idolatry this way. Idolatry equals love gone wrong. When we love things that we ought not to love, when we love them more than Jesus Christ, and the author says that idolatry lies at the heart of every besetting sin that we struggle with. Everything that has hold of us that we commit over and over and over again, it's because we love and worship something more than God. We've been talking about this for several weeks, but tonight we're all in the same boat. We struggle with idolatry. It's not a switch that you flip one time. It's something that you have to do every day, and we disobey the greatest commandment. We all struggle with putting our trust and our hope and our dreams in things of this earth. If only I had that. If only I had that situation. If only I was born into this family. My life would be great. My sin would go away. And we make excuses for ourselves all the time. And guys, where my love is rooted affects how I live my life. Where my heart is, that's where my treasure is. Where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. And guys, a phrase I learned while I worked at camp goes like this. You do what you do, and you say what you say, because you think what you think. You think what you think because you believe what you believe about God, about His Word, and about yourself. But you could also throw in there, I say what I say and I do what I do because I love what I love. Because I enjoy what I want to give my time to. And tonight, are you in the discouraging struggle with habitual sin? You want to live a godly life, but maybe you're entrapped by it and you're almost to the point of giving up. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, and really we see in Colossians 3, to change your life, you've got to change what you love. To change your life, you've got to change what you love. And before we read Colossians 3, let's ask God for wisdom. Father, we need you tonight. We need you to speak clearly. We need you to soften our hearts. And Lord, thank you for your word, that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. And Father, from our heart of idolatry springs a lot of other sins that frustrate us, that discourage us. But Lord, help us to realize that really at the root of all of that is what we love. And Lord, help that to be you. I pray that we would obey the greatest commandment. We'd follow the example of Jesus Christ, that we would love you with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole mind. I pray again that your will would be accomplished tonight in Christ's name. Amen. So let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Colossians 3, 1 through 6 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." He's talking to Christians here. "Since you are risen with Christ, you have new life, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." So, in other words, to change your life, you've got to change what you love. "Set your affections on things above, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify or kill therefore the members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness," listen to this phrase, "which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." To change your life, you have to change what you love. So how do I do that, Pastor Brandon? I mean, I want to love God. I just don't know how to move forward. First of all, you've got to change what you love by identifying your idols. What right now is getting between me and God? What am I really worshiping? And let's reread the second half of verse number 5. Just the very end phrase, actually. "And covetousness, which is idolatry." And oftentimes we skip over those words, especially if they're in lists. But idolatry is not the physical act of bowing down before an idol. Idolatry is a strong desire. I want that. I'm going to take it. It's a craving. It's a want. It's a desire. It's being satisfied with anything other than God. And guys, set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. An idol is a thing. It's a person or a thing that you love more than you love God. And you can only be tempted with things that you want. You sin when you give in to temptation to pursue things in the wrong way or the wrong time. Look at James chapter 1. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." Very similar ideas to covetousness. A strong desire, and he is enticed. So guys, you could come up here and you could tell me to and dare me to go punch Chris Barfield in the face. You'd be like, "Hey, Pastor Brandon, I dare you. Go punch Chris Barfield in the face." And I'm like, okay, why? Maybe some explanation is needed. And I like Chris. Okay? He's my friend. I have a relationship with him. I wouldn't want to go punch him in the face because it's going to hurt my relationship with him, right? And he'd probably beat me up and kill me. He's a U.S. Marshal. So I don't want to do that. But she'd be like, hey, Pastor Brandon, I'll give you a boom roasted card. And I'm like, I don't care. I got 1,000 of them. Right? And guys, for us, sometimes there are sins like that. That doesn't tempt me. But what if you came to me and said, hey, go punch Chris Barfield in the face. And guess what? I've got tickets to the Philadelphia Eagles game this Sunday in Philadelphia. I'll give them to you. I am punching him as fast as I can get to him. That tempts me. I like him. But at that moment, my desire for those tickets is stronger than my desire to have a strong relationship with Chris Barfield. And guys, we do that to God all the time, don't we? We're like, hey, you know what? God, I love you. I want a strong relationship with you. And then somebody's like, hey, you want to go out and do drugs? No. Right? Like, for most of us, it's probably not a temptation. But then temptation comes along the way, and we're like, you know what? I actually do really want that. And God, I know you said not to do it, but I really want it. And you're tempted. And all of a sudden, you decide, you know what? And you willingly say, I know this is wrong, but I love it more than God. And I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, God's going to forgive me later anyway. And really what's fleshing out of our lives is we have this desire for something more than we want God. And I don't want to sin against him if I'm a believer, but sometimes I end up doing that because really I have an idol that's taking over my heart and my covetousness takes over until something that I love more than God comes in the picture. That's when I struggle and that's when I give in to temptation, when my flesh craves and wants something. You see what we're getting at here? Guys, the desires of my flesh can cause me to worship something over the one true God. Is there one besetting sin that you're struggling with that maybe tonight you've got to figure out and be able to identify what is an idol of my heart that comes out like this? That comes out in anger. That comes out in sinful thoughts. That comes out in sinful behavior. That comes out in bitterness. What am I loving more than I'm loving God? And our idols can be anything. Guys, it can be a boyfriend. It can be a girlfriend. It can be a relationship. It can be good grades. It can be the approval of people. It could be something. Again, I'm being straightforward and I'm being cautious here. It could even be sexual pleasure. You guys need to hear these things. Guys, people are falling all the time, and it's because they haven't really dealt with what's going on down deep in their hearts. In Genesis 29 through 31, we read of a woman named Rachel. And she struggled with idolatry. She actually stole her dad's idols when she was leaving her dad's house, and she wanted to keep them secret from her husband Jacob, and she hid them. And it kind of fleshed itself out in different ways. She's introduced in chapter 29 as being beautiful and well-favored. That's a polite way of the Bible saying that she was a knockout. Okay, she was beautiful, she was gorgeous, and Jacob noticed this. But in that same verse, she is compared to her sister Leah. Guess how she's introduced? Tender-eyed. A nice way of saying she wasn't easy on the eyes. She was ugly. Right? So we've got this beautiful sister with this ugly sister. They're introduced in the same verse. They're tender-eyed. And Jacob falls in love with Rachel, and he works 7 years to get her, and he's tricked into marrying Leah. So now he's upset. He's got to work 7 more years. He does it, and we come to chapter 30, and Rachel says to Jacob, after they're married, she's just watched Leah have 6 children. The ugly sister have 6 kids, and she's got none. And she comes to Jacob, and she says, give me children, or else I die. What is the idol of her heart at that moment? Children. She thinks that what she needs to be happy in that moment is kids. The Lord's gracious to her and she gives birth to Joseph. But then in verse 24, notice that it doesn't satisfy. You don't have time to turn there. But she says, you know what? God's going to give me another one. God, please give me another one. I need another one. Give me another son. That's exactly what happens in the idolatry of our lives. We think this thing is going to make us happy. We worship it. We love it. We give in to temptation and it doesn't satisfy us. What we have set up that we think is going to make us happier than God, it falls short. Children were an idol for her and it did not satisfy. She wanted more. She conceived again and she died in childbirth. Very ironic for a woman who said, give me children or else I die. She died giving birth. So guys, how do we identify our idols? We need to examine our hearts and really ask ourselves if there's anything that our heart says, I need this or I'm going to die. I need this or my life isn't worth living. If I don't have this, then I'm going to turn my back on God. God, how you dare hold this back from me? I want this, and if you're not going to give it to me, you're not good enough. This is better than you, and we start to chase after it. Guys, is there something in your heart that maybe God's withholding from you now, or maybe you want in the future that you say, you know what, if God doesn't let me have that, I'm done. That's an idol of your heart. Is it some sort of pleasure? Is it some sort of relationship? So think about that sin that discourages you. You struggle with that sin over and over again. It's a besetting sin. I want you to think in your mind as you think about that thing that's already popped into your mind. What connection is there between that sin and what possibly might be an idol for you? Think about deeper than, hey, you know what, this is wrong. We know it's wrong. But what is causing that? What do you want more than you want God? Have you set up earthly things as your God? What is it that your heart thinks is worth more than a relationship with God? So we've got to identify our idols, but also we need to change what you love by killing your idols. This is in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. It says this, mortify or kill therefore your members which are upon the earth. And in other words, put to death what is earthly in you. And later in Rachel's story, she goes out and she buries those idols. Jacob has said, hey, you need to get rid of them. She buries them. She leaves them. And for us, we don't have those physical idols that we can bury and leave, right? If we did, we'd just throw them out the window. But we've got these things that are invisible that are in our hearts. How do we kill them? How do we mortify our flesh to get over these idols that we've set up? How do we kill them and get rid of them? Because we can only see that our heart is rooted in an idol by what comes out of our heart, our mouth, and our actions. That's what reveals our heart. First of all, kill your idols through confession. 1 John 1, 8 and 9, well-known verses. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I should be confessing my sin often, because I sin often. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, guys, principles that we know God promises to forgive, but when we confess, we are agreeing with God about our sin. So tonight, maybe you need to confess your sin, your root sin of idolatry to God. God, I'm going to agree with you. I've been trying to hide it. I'm deceiving myself. God, if I'm honest, there are things that I love more than you. And I confess that to you. And I need your help and strength. And maybe you need to agree with God that you love something more than him. Again, what is coming out of your heart and out of your life? What's the fruit of your actions and your words? Now, I am kind of obsessed with getting mail, okay? The reason being, sometimes you like overpay on a bill, and you go to that mailbox, and you get the extra rebate check, and you're like, yes, right? And pretty often after I bought my house, I get letters, hey, you're paying too much on your mortgage. And I'm like, sweet, give me money back, right? So I got kind of obsessed with getting mail. And also I'm obsessed with Amazon, so I love getting packages at my doorstep. Now, my children have kind of gained this obsession with me. So every time that doorbell rings, it's like a family event. Let's go get the package. So we all run down the steps. We open the door. I bring it in. And a couple weeks ago, Elena was standing there, and she's like, I put it down, I'm closing the door, and she's trying to pick it up. So I say, hey, baby, that's probably pretty heavy for you. Let me help you out. So I go down to help her, and she says, I do it myself. All right. So I start walking up the steps. I turn around, and Elena's like, she can't pick it up. And she's like, I can't do it. And she looks really sad and upset. So I turn around, and I help her, and I get her up the steps. And she's able to get that up now. She eventually agreed with me that box is too heavy. And guys, some of you need to humble yourselves in prayer tonight and confess your sin and agree with God that, you know what, this sin struggle that I've had for too long, it's too heavy for me. I can't do this on my own. I need help. And the first person I'm coming to, God, is you. I need to agree with you that this is too big for me. And sometimes in that breaking point of humility, you find strength. And guys, as you thought about what you need in order to be happy, the Holy Spirit maybe helped you identify some idols that you're already seeing. You know what? This is something that I love more than God. To change the way you live, you've got to change what you love. To change your life, change what you love. And guys, do you need to confess that you love something more than God tonight? Idolatry is a root that can do a lot of damage in your life because a lot of other sins come from this. If your idol is reputation, all of a sudden you've got sins of mocking people, giving in to peer pressure, because, hey, I'm going to get that reputation no matter what. You start telling dirty jokes. Now you've got corrupt communication because that root idol is people are going to love me no matter what. And guys, we've got to please God rather than man. Did God identify something in your heart that would identify you'd identify as an idol? Kill it through confession, but also kill it through repentance. Because again, what I show you on the screen illustrate this. What comes out of your life is anchored to your God. Tonight, is that rock that's beneath the surface really the one true God, or is it something else? Kill your idols through repentance. Sounds very similar. Hey, I've got to confess and repent. Pastor Brandon, they're very similar. After confession comes repentance. True repentance brings hatred for sin. So I confessed to you guys last week that between Thanksgiving, Christmas, I gained a decent amount of weight. Okay, so at some point I had to confess to myself that I agree with the scale, I gained weight. But now I have to start doing something about that, right? So I went on a diet. I lost some weight, not going to tell you how much, but I lost what I gained. So I changed my behavior. I haven't drank soda, I haven't had sweets, I haven't done all these things, I lost the weight. So I changed my behavior, but do you think that changed what I wanted? No. I saw candy and literally my mouth would start to water. I haven't been eating sugar. I saw certain foods and I was just like craving it. I wanted it. I wanted pizza. I wanted all this fattening food. And I changed the way that I was living, but it didn't really change my desires. And guys, that's what goes on in our hearts a lot. You know what? I lie a lot, so I'm just going to stop it. But really what's going on down here is I still want something that makes me lie. I've not really dealt with the thing that I love more than God. Maybe that's not getting in trouble. Maybe you'll get grounded from your sports team. And you're like, hey, you know what? Sports is my God. And if I don't lie about this thing, then I'm not going to be able to play sports. And someone's going to take my God away. So you lie. It flushes itself out in so many different ways, guys. What do you love more than God? Because, again, I did not start to hate food on my diet. I still craved it. And eventually, if you don't really deal with that root thing that's going on, your flesh's cravings are going to flush themselves out. On Monday night, I ate a piece of cheesecake. I gave in. I broke my diet, and I messed up. And guys, that's what's going to happen to us spiritually if we don't really deal with what's going on down deep in our hearts. Some of you have confessed your sin in the past, but you've not truly repented of it, and you've not turned from it to the point where you hate it and it disgusts you. That's what happened in the life of David when he confessed his sin in Psalm 51. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He's agreeing with God. God, I did this. "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." What is he saying? Whatever the consequences, God, I'll take them. Because you are more important than hiding this sin. When there's true repentance in our lives, we'll be willing to take the consequences. 1 Corinthians 7 says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. And maybe the only reason you've confessed your sin in the past is because you've been caught. Someone found out. And it's going to make your life a lot easier when you just confess to it, but really you haven't started to hate that sin. You still love it. You still crave it. Guys, he was willing to receive the consequences in Psalm 51 of his sin. He hated it. Is this where you are with that sin that so easily besets you tonight? Lastly, change what you love by replacing your idols. Read Colossians 3:10. We don't have time to read the whole passage, but Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You replace your idols by filling your heart with the knowledge of God. You've got to rip off that sin, empty your heart of that sin, and maybe tonight your heart is full of fear. You've got to replace that fear with a trust in an all-powerful and all-loving God. God says, be anxious for nothing. How do I do that? I've got to really believe down deep in my heart and renew my mind, you know what? God loves me and God is powerful enough to take care of me. I will trust Him. I don't have to be fearful. Whatever your heart is full of tonight, whether that's lust, anger, greed, or deceit, God, you've got to replace that with knowledge of who God is. Because God is better than your idols. God will satisfy forever. You guys know that besetting sin satisfies for a time. The next day, your heart wants it again. And it craves it. When you truly believe that something is good, you worship it. And guys, you say it's worth it when you worship it with your heart. And you've really got to believe deep down in your heart that God is good. That God is patient, long-suffering, meek, loving. And in James 1:14, we've already started looking at this passage. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Those strong desires, your covetousness, it leads to sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the consequences of a false god. Death. Do not err. Don't make this mistake, brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is James saying? Hey, there's this thing that you love, that you think is going to make you happy and fulfilled, and you chase after it after your God, but it's going to leave you empty. But don't make that mistake. There is a God that is good, and He will never change. Do you really believe that? Because God is better than any God your heart can make up. He never changes. Every gift He gives is good. And guys, He wants to give that to you. And if you need to love Him more than your sin. When a person truly believes that something is good, they desire it. And James has already made that application for us. There's a show that a lot of you have seen, Shark Tank. How many of you ever watched that show? What does Mr. Wonderful say when he can't make a deal with somebody and he doesn't like the idea? You're dead to me. Now, why does he say that? Because all he cares about is money. And if you can't make him money, you're dead to him. But guys, look at Colossians chapter 3 in verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Mr. Wonderful says, you're dead to me because he can't get money. And when someone does not help him get closer to that desire, it's dead to him. So guys, this passage says that we are dead to our old man and to our sin. The things of this world ought to be dead to us because they do not help us get closer to God. Or have we made them idols? People bow down to wood, hay, and stubble. They're empty. They have no power. But guys, these things that we've made idols in our hearts cannot change us. To change your life, you've got to change what you love. And to close here, I've got a diagram that I've used. I made this on a couple months ago. But a lot of us, what we struggle with are the things up here. Hey, we've got the bad fruit that's coming out of our lives. We see the anger. We see the pornography, the violence, the no respect for authority, selfishness. And we're like, hey, I hate that stuff. I don't want it. And we've got to identify our idols right here. What do you think you need to be happy? Is there something in your life that you're like, you know what, I love this more than God, and if He takes it from me, I'm going to run from Him. How do you know? What makes you most angry? Is it someone taking the Lord's name in vain? Probably not. Is it someone making fun of you and treating you like you don't matter? Maybe. Your idol is yourself. And guys, down here, what you really believe is only things of this earth can satisfy me. So you live for things of this earth. This is where you are rooted, and this is what comes out of your life. You've got to identify what is your real idol and what you really love, and then you've got to change your beliefs and what you love, and you've got to believe that only God can satisfy me. Things of this world, they're nothing. That only God loves me. That God loves me. He is love. That God is good. That He's wise. That He forgives me. And now my thinking starts to change. If this is really what I believe, I start to live, hey, you know what's going to make God happy? What's going to please him? I trust him. And all of a sudden now, here starts coming that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, forgiveness. And it all comes back to what I'm really anchored to. What I really believe and what I really love. And guys, that's what comes out of my life. And so tonight, did God point out some root of idolatry? You've got to change what you love to change your life. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to take the punishment for our sin, and that because he is risen again, as this passage tells us, we are dead to our sin. And Lord, help us to truly live that way, and I pray that tonight you would help us with hearts that are drawn towards covetousness and selfishness, that with hearts that are drawn towards gods that are not you, that you would convict us of that, that you'd help us to really realize what we are rooted to, that you'd help us to change what we love tonight. And Lord, that is something supernatural. We can't do it on our own. We pray humbly and confess to you that we need your help. We can't do it alone. Lord, help us to hate sin and to love you. Help us to truly repent of it and run as far away from it as we can. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. And maybe you're here tonight and a lot of what I said didn't make sense because you've never trusted Christ, you never received forgiveness, and you feel the guilt of your sin, you feel that conviction. And the Bible does say that we've all sinned and all of us deserve to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. And that's a literal place that in Revelation we'll be cast into the lake of fire if we don't believe in Christ. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to take our place on the cross. He took our place, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. And tonight, you may be here like, you know what, my relationship with the world is really idolatry, and I really want to change my heart and place my trust in Christ, who rose again and had victory over sin for you. And if you want to get saved tonight, if you could just raise your hand, we'd love to show you how you can come to know Christ. But believers are here, and we are drawn by our flesh, by our covetousness, and maybe you would signify by a raise of hand and I can pray for you. Pastor Brandon, the Lord did reveal to me a very specific idol of my heart that's having a lot of different effects, sinful effects in my life. If you would raise your hand, I could pray for you. I see one. I see many. Thank you. Thank you so much. Can I see that? Thank you. And guys, that is the Lord that has pointed that out. Again, I would encourage you to take the steps that we talked about tonight, even now. Confess, but also ask that God would give you a hatred for that and a willingness to receive the consequences for whatever it takes to get right with him. Now, for those of you who just rose your hand, I'll pray for you in a moment, but again, if you're here tonight and you're like, you know what, I want some help, maybe some help talking to my parents about some things at home, maybe some help or someone to pray with, if you'd raise your hand, we'd love to connect with you as well. Again, we are always here and open, and we are not here to punish or judge. We are here to help. And if that's your heart, I need help from someone older than me, someone more advanced in their walk with Christ. If you'd raise your hand, we'd love to do that. Father, we thank you for your word. We do thank you that it does open up our hearts, even though it's uncomfortable. But Lord, we know it's for our good. You give every good gift. Help us to completely believe that and believe that you are better than any God. No God of this earth has ever died in our place to take our punishment that we deserve. And Lord, you have earned our worship. You're the only one who's worthy of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be committed to you, that we'd have no other gods before us, that we would love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And Father, I pray for those who rose their hands tonight, who you pointed out a specific idol of their heart. I pray that you'd help them to mortify it, to kill it, but also to replace it. To replace it with a love for you that is greater than their love for that sin. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified tonight. You'd send us from here with a renewed desire to get to know you, to love you, and to fill our hearts with knowledge of you. That instead of fear or anger or sin, our heart would be full of your love and your light, and that would overflow into how we live. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thanks so much, guys. If you could help by straightening chairs, please throw any trash you manufactured tonight. And if you could put the Bibles back in the closet if you have one, you are dismissed. Nine square is upstairs.